Starting in the book of Genesis all the way up through the book of Revelation, we read repeatedly of the term sin. Today what I would like to do is give you the biblical definition of sin. In fact, in four New Testament passages, we see precisely what sin is. Romans chapter 14 verse 23 declares, "But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin." James 4:17 says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins." 1 John 3 verse 4 declares, "Everyone who sins breaks the law." In fact, sin is lawlessness. And finally, 1 John 5:17 states, "All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death." According to these four passages, many of the various things that people would say or do or even think is merely an error, a fault, or a shortcoming. Really is not an error, a fault, or a shortcoming. It's actually a sin, especially when you consider that there are sins of omission as well as sins of commission, and that you can sin in thought, word, and deed. Thought, word, and deed. Think about that. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We come to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And then down just a few more verses, to verse 4, it says, "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." Peter also made a very important comment regarding this subject of sin. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, he said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Notice the war that is taking place according to Peter. The Bible declares there's an invisible war and the devil is using sin to get at our soul. Let's examine some important, relevant, detailed truths about this issue of sin and see how all this lines up with what most of the popular teachers of our day are teaching. Shockingly, if a person would take the time to read through the Bible without any preconceived ideas about what the Bible declares about sin, they would be most surprised to find just what the scriptures would declare. Their findings would state something absolutely different than what most people generally think about sin. Most people that own a Bible would tend to think that all sins are of the same degree. In fact, I remember very clearly, approximately 25 years ago, I heard a teaching tape where this particular man made the incredibly erroneous statement that worry is the same as adultery. Now, this is very common, and it's not just something that I heard on a single cassette tape. I would like to give you three actual quotes. The very first one is from Strombeck, and this is what Strombeck said regarding degrees of sin. He said, quote, "In relation to eternal life or everlasting death, there are no degrees of sin. All are the same," unquote. Green said this, quote, "Man classifies sin as little, medium, or big, but there is no such thing as a little sin against the holy God. Sin is big, ugly, loathsome, black as the walls of hell," unquote. And the final quote comes from Robert Thiem, who said this, quote, "The scriptures do not classify adultery as more depraved than other sins," unquote. Now, this is a very consistent teaching with the eternal security message. These people that are contending for and proclaiming eternal security want us to think it doesn't matter what type of sin you commit, they're all equal. In fact, they have only one scripture in the entire Bible that they would cite as proof for that statement. And as usual, it's taken out of context. That scripture that they misuse is James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." All you would have to do is just jump down a single verse and let James elaborate further on what he was saying in verse 10. He went on and he said this, "For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker." All James is stating in James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, is how one becomes a lawbreaker. If you stumble at just a single point anywhere in the law, you have become a lawbreaker. He's not saying anything at all about degrees of sin. He's not saying they're all equal. He's just telling people, his readers, how one becomes a lawbreaker. You don't have to commit adultery. All you have to do is murder somebody, and you're a lawbreaker according to this passage, James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. That's an important scripture to understand because, as I stated before, the people that would say that there are no degrees of sin, they're all the same, adultery is just as bad as worry and vice versa, they would hinge that statement upon James chapter 2, verse 10, and again, that passage has been misused. There are dozens and dozens of scriptures in the Old and New Testament that teach that there are different degrees of sin. A crystal clear one is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Let me draw your attention to verse 6. Listen to this. It says, "Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary? Now, turn again, you will see greater abominations." If you jump on down to verse 13, we read, "And he said to me, Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing." And then jump down just two more verses, and we read in verse 15, "Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these." God told Ezekiel first that there were great abominations, and then greater abominations, then greater abominations than those. If a person only read Ezekiel chapter 8, he should know that all sins are not of the same degree before Almighty God. God is saying there are different degrees of sin. In fact, one of the major concerns that we have found out through our ministry is oftentimes people tend to think that they have committed eternal sin when in fact they have not committed eternal sin. We received an email not very long ago from a girl that had two abortions and she was curious if she could ever be forgiven. A different email came in where a man stated approximately 1 year after he became a Christian, he fell into sexual sin, and that was the same time that he was 75% convinced that eternal security was the truth. He yielded to the devil's temptation, and he became sexually immoral, and he was curious and very disturbed, may I add, if he could ever be forgiven because of his sin. Some people would tend to think if you commit willful sin such as that, if you would know it's wrong and you would do it anyway, that is have that abortion, or if you would go ahead and commit sexual immorality, that you could never be forgiven. But is that really the message of the Bible? The Bible speaks of eternal sin in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 3. Jesus himself told us about eternal sin, but surprisingly, that is not the message of the Lord Jesus about eternal sin. In Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 24, we read this. "When the Pharisees heard this, they said, It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons." You could jump on down to verse 31. You could read all those verses. But down to verses 31 and 32, that's where we get to the crux of the issue, where Jesus picks up again, talking about the very things that the Pharisees were falsely accusing him of. This is what Jesus said in verse 31. This is Matthew 12, 31 and 32. "And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Now, if I had no other passage, if I never read Ezekiel 8, if I only read Matthew chapter 12, I would know that all sin is not the same, because Jesus is saying all forms of blasphemy are forgivable except this type of blasphemy. This is eternal sin. And we could see how they sinned. They believed and stated something about Jesus that was diametrically opposed to what the truth was. They said it was by the power of the devil that he was driving out demons. And even more clear than Matthew chapter 12 is Mark chapter 3 regarding what eternal sin is. You would go to Mark chapter 3, 22, all the way on down to verse 30. We see the same sort of accusation leveled against the Lord, and especially verses 29 and 30. "But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit." Now, that's very important. Mark 3, verse 30 is the key verse that we need to focus in upon to know why Jesus said that particular sin was eternal sin. There were all kinds of sinners around Jesus all the time. He never said any of those other times that was eternal sin, but here he did. And it says in Mark 3:30, "because they were saying he had an evil spirit." In other words, Jesus, according to what they were saying, slandering Jesus, lying about Jesus, they said Jesus had an evil spirit, and by the power of the devil, Jesus was performing his miracles and casting out demons. And that was blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and eternal sin, according to what Jesus said. So how could all sin be the same if Jesus said this type of blasphemy, this type of sin is not forgivable, it's eternal, but other sins can be forgiven? So immediately we should know what the eternal security teachers are declaring is fallacious. It's just not biblical. It's not what Jesus taught. It's not the same as what the Lord Jesus taught about degrees of sin. Let me give you another time Jesus refuted what the eternal security teachers are declaring. This is found in John chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it has been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivers me to you has the greater sin." Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking of Judas. He stated that Judas had the greater sin. Does that not imply if there is greater sin, there must be sin less severe than the greater sin? Absolutely. All through the scriptures, you read this kind of statement. You remember what the Bible declares about Sodom and Gomorrah? You would read Genesis 18, verse 20. It says this, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave." And then he went on with the statement. Notice what their sin was. It was very grave. Well, if there's very grave sin, there has to be sin that's not very grave, that's lesser. In Exodus 32, verse 30, "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.'" Then we come down to 1 Samuel 2, verse 17, speaking of what Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's wicked sons, did. That scripture reads, "Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Over and over and over, we see that the Bible is declaring that there are different degrees of sin, exactly the opposite of what the grace changers want us to think. They want us to think that all sin is of the same degree, that adultery is not more depraved than any other sin. If it would be worry, if it would be unthankfulness, if it would be the sin of not being completely humble or gentle, all sin is of the same category. When you get in the Bible, that is absolutely, positively not the message that you would see in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, that when a person sins sexually, that is uniquely against his own body, while all other sins are outside his body. Again, we see something contrary to what people want us to believe. One of the most important passages regarding this issue about sin being of the same degree or different degree would be 1 John 5:16. 1 John 5:16 tells us there is sin that does not lead to death, while there is also sin that does lead to death. You'll see in the scriptures that it makes mention of willful sin, unintentional sin, defiant sin, detestable sin, and deliberate sin. Over and over and over, sin is shown to occur in different kinds of degrees. So that's a definite, serious error that we have been taught, and sadly, many Bible believers have swallowed the lie that all sin is of the same degree, when it absolutely, positively is not the message of the scriptures. I'm talking Old and New Testament alike. Furthermore, we are also dangerously taught the only thing that occurs when a believer sins is that his fellowship is lost, his communion with the Father or the joy of his salvation is impaired, or some kind of statement like this. It's always a less than a salvation issue. It doesn't really make any difference who you would read or who you would listen to. If they believe in eternal security, that is going to be their message. They're going to say that it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit, you'll lose your rewards, it'll hinder your position in the kingdom, it'll affect your confidence in prayer, your direction in life, your testimony, your influence, perhaps even bring you to physical death. But one thing they cannot ever say is, as the Bible declares, that sin for a Christian can bring that Christian to his spiritual death. There are sins that lead to death. So I'm talking about physical death. We all die physically. Well, some might say the sin unto death is when God gets so angry and outraged over your sin that God will kill that believer prematurely. I wonder how many people that believe like that have ever actually thought about that kind of teaching. Do you realize what a license for immorality that is? To say that God can get so angry at a believer that he would strike that believer dead in his wrath and take him to heaven, as eternal security would say, is to say that you can go ahead and stubbornly remain unrepentant in your adultery, your drunkenness, your murder. It doesn't matter what kind of vile abomination that you commit, that God can be so provoked to anger over your wickedness, and if you remain in that sin, God will go ahead and kill you prematurely and take you to heaven. Some people would like to die prematurely and get out of this life and go into God's paradise kingdom. This is saying indirectly that your sin can actually reward you by getting to paradise heaven faster if you remain unrepentant. The Bible does say that God strikes some people dead because of their sin. Clearly, as in the case of what happened in Noah's day, everyone except the eight that were in the ark all perished. God's wrath was kindled. He was provoked to anger because of the sin that was being committed here on this planet. And he killed every single person except the eight people inside of that ark, and they all perished. None of them went to heaven. So why would we think that if God gets angry enough to strike a person dead, that he then lets that unholy person in his holy environment? Isn't this an attempt to mock God, thinking that you can sow to please your flesh and the sinful nature and still reap eternal life? You can still get in his kingdom and just sow to please your flesh. The Bible says God cannot be mocked. Read it for yourself. It's in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. If you sow to please the sinful nature or your flesh, you will reap destruction instead of eternal life. The only way you will ever reap eternal life is to sow to please the Spirit of God. And you're not sowing to please the Spirit of God if you believe, like these eternal security teachers want you to believe, that these sins are all of the same degree. Hence, if you go ahead and you commit adultery, if you become a drunkard, if you're caught up in pornography, if you're a thief, if you're a liar, if you do some other abomination such as this, you will still get into the kingdom because you once had a moment of faith. And all you're jeopardizing would be your rewards, your confidence in prayer, maybe your fellowship with God, the joy of your salvation, but you're still a son. Once a son, always a son. And once you're in grace, you're always in grace. At least that's what they want us to believe, even though that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of the Lord Jesus, nor is it the message of his apostles. This is a horrible time to be just sitting back and listening to what these people are declaring without carefully reading the scriptures. Listen to some of the horrible things that we have been taught over the years. Charles Ryrie said this, quote, "If our salvation is not secure, then our new birth would have to be able to die, or we would have to be able to destroy it by some act of sin. But never does the New Testament even hint that such could happen," unquote. Ankerberg said this, quote, "Christians may pay a very high price in this life for their sin, but sin has no power to cause loss of their salvation because of the atonement of Christ," unquote. Now notice that. That's a key statement to focus in upon. This is typical for the eternal security people. They want us to think that sin can never bring a believer to the place where he or she will lose their salvation because of the atonement. Now, folks, there is no Bible verse that would say, because of Jesus' death on a cross, that sin afterwards could never bring a Christian to his spiritual death. Remember, the Apostle Paul knew all about the atonement and the infinite work of Christ. And in Romans 8:13, the Apostle Paul said to Christians, people that had been born again, no question about their salvation, he addressed them as saints. And he said that if they live according to the sinful nature, they will die, but if by the Spirit they put to death the misdeeds of the body, they will live. He's telling them the same thing he told the Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, and Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, that if you live according to the sinful nature, you will either die spiritually according to Romans, or you won't inherit the kingdom of God according to Galatians 5, or you'll reap destruction instead of eternal life in chapter 6 if you sow to please your flesh instead of the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible declares, which is the opposite of what we are being told. Ankerberg put out an article on the dangers of sexual immorality. He never said anything at all in that article about what sin could do to a believer, except in one part of it. And he went ahead and said that they're jeopardizing their rewards in heaven by a few moments of gratifying their sinful desires down here. The Bible says all of the sexually immoral, unless they repent, will end up in the lake of fire. So if a person gets saved and afterwards falls into adultery as David did after he got regenerated, they're going to have to repent or they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. Revelation 21:8 clearly tells us who is going to end up in the lake of fire. God himself from his throne told us, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those that practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. If God says the sexually immoral are going to the lake of fire, I am going to believe the sexually immoral are going to go to the lake of fire. The Bible teaches that your spiritual identity before God changes when either you repent or when you're walking upright before the Lord and then you would stray, it could change again, this time for the worse. So it can change for the good or for the bad depending what you do. If you turn away from sin or if you turn to sin. If you turn away from sin as the dying thief did, he got his sins forgiven in a moment's time. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And yet the Bible says elsewhere that thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. How did he get in? How could Jesus say, you will be with me in paradise? Jesus could tell him, this day you'll be with me in paradise because his identity changed. But on the other hand, if a person is righteous, as Ezekiel put it, if that righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, such as sexual immorality, the Bible says clearly there, five times in the book of Ezekiel, Chapters 3, 18 and 33, that he will die because of it. And that's what happened to King David. King David died, but not physically, he died spiritually. King David lived on and on and on after he committed adultery and murder. He died though, but he got restored with the Lord. He came back to God. He repented. He became alive again, to use a New Testament term. So what we are being told about sin is grossly misleading and even dangerous, especially when you add to all the horrible things the eternal security people are teaching. If you would add to the things already mentioned in this message, what they say about the pre-forgiveness of sins, that your future sins are already forgiven before you even commit those sins. What an abomination. What a horrible thing to tell people. I heard one eternal security teacher, Bob George, teaching against confessing your sins to God. The 1 John 1:9 does not say that believers should confess their sins to God, when that scripture does teach that. Now, Bob George has gone on record to say, to a person that was having trouble with sexual immorality, the sin was fornication, and he went and told that person over the radio on his show, People to People, that fornication is permissible, it's just not profitable. Can you imagine teaching like that? But then on the other hand, why shouldn't he teach like that? He believes in the lie of eternal security. He actually thinks that no sin can bring the believer to his spiritual death. They all believe that. This is the day we're living in. There's rampant, incredible deception about sin. You remember those scriptures I read at the very beginning of this message? I gave you that passage way back in Genesis chapter 4. God said this, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And I really like that passage in Hebrews 12 verse 4. It concisely tells us what true Christianity is. It says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. This is how we're supposed to battle against sin and resist sin, even if we have to shed our own blood. And brothers and sisters, it might come to that before our life is over. It has come to that in the lives of many people. Many have shed their blood rather than to succumb to the devil's temptations to commit certain types of sin. Well, the Bible teaches there are different degrees of sin, and the Bible teaches, in contrast to what we are being told by the popular teachers, the eternal security teachers, that sin can cause loss of salvation. It can cause you to reap destruction instead of eternal life, according to Paul, the real grace teacher. And most definitely, your future sins are not forgiven before you even commit them. The eternal security teachers are declaring a false message about salvation. They have many thinking that they are actually on the road to heaven, when indeed they are actually on the road to hell, and they're going to be very, very surprised in a bad way when they wake up one day in this fiery lake which they will never escape from. We're talking about eternity. It's time to contend for the faith. Make your voice heard, folks. Now's the time. People all around you and I are going to hell in their sins because they have accepted the belief of eternal security.
Warning, don't go to hell by believing a false gospel and counterfeit grace message. Order a copy of our 800-page book, the Believer's Conditional Security. This book is the most exhaustive refutation to eternal security ever written. It contains 25 chapters, over 700 footnotes, hundreds of Bible references, more than 195 reference sources, and 13 appendixes. It has scripture and subject indexes, and a bibliography. Learn little-known historical facts about the Reformation period. Read contradictions between the big-name eternal security teachers and the biblical refutation to 110 eternal security arguments. Find out how to safeguard your family from the devil's masterpiece of false doctrine. Get your copy today for only $19.50. If you live outside the USA, call 724-632-3210 and add $10 for postage. Or you can send your check or money order to Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. That's Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. You can also order online from www.evangelicaloutreach.org.